The November 29, 2013 rain report is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with another rain report. Microprocessors, Linux, controllers. These are terms that cause many non-techies to roll their proverbial eyes. Well, start rolling them, because this week we're bringing you another rare technical rain report. This one from George Safaropoulos, KJ6VU, as excerpted from a talk at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention.
My name is George Safaropoulos. I'm KJ6VU. I've been a ham for a while. I have sort of weird sub-interests in ham radio. I like digital electronics a lot. I like software a lot, and I'm a QRP fan. I've built all kinds of QRP radios, so I don't know what that means. I'm sort of bimodal when it comes to ham radio. I'm also a partner in a little company called Sierra Radio. We make microcontroller kits. We're doing Linux boards now. I will apologize up front. I'm not trying to make this really a big commercial, but the only examples that I can really give you from my personal experience is stuff we've built, and a lot of that stuff we sell. So sorry for that, but that's kind of the way it goes, because I can't talk about other people's stuff too much. Believe me, it's a nonprofit business if you ask my wife. So what do? At Sierra Radio, we started out making repeater control systems. We make the world's best repeater controller. I could tell you 25 reasons why that's the case, but I won't right now. We use microcontrollers extensively. A full 8-port controller has 9 PICs in it. It's a lot of code. The next thing we did was we came up with a Hamstack microcontroller platform, which took all the same processors and a lot of the peripheral ideas in the repeater controller, and we converted that into a platform that people could use to build their own gadget, because we had so much fun building our repeater controller thing. We wanted to help people with that, so we've been building that for a few years. And this year, we've come out with a few new products that are about station automation, which, again, is taking microcontrollers and now Linux, blending them together in a remote station system. So I'll use that as an example of how you can use this stuff that I'm talking about later in the presentation. We use microcontrollers in all of these different areas. And interestingly enough, with a lot of new Linux-based single-board computers, they have an applicability across the board as well. And later on, we'll get into how would you use them and what are the pros and cons and why would you pick one or the other. And I will also tell you up front, I will be more than happy to share with you my personal opinion of some of these different processors and whatnot, but you know, I'm one guy with one opinion, and your opinion may vary, and I'm sure it does, but I'll be happy to share with you my personal view. I started with a Johnson Viking Ranger 2. If there was ever a boat anchor, that would be a candidate, but I had a really great receiver. I had a wonderful receiver, my R4B, and I still have it. Neither of which is computer controllable at this point, but there's always servo motors, so who knows. So we'll break this up into three sections. The first section is going to be a quick introduction to microcontrollers. For those of you who saw the presentation last year, this will be a very short version of that. I'll spend a lot more time on the embedded Linux processors, and then I'll show you as a project example the station control system that we built. So let's sort of dig right into it. So what's a microcontroller? So basically, a microcontroller is a complete computer on a chip. That's the sort of glib way to think about it. In the old days, when we would build a control system, you would buy a CPU chip and some RAM chips and some EEPROMs. Remember EEPROMs? You'd buy a UART and a PIA chip and a bunch of junk, and you'd wire it all together, and you get a circuit board this big, and it would do the same thing that you could do in a single chip today, but it would have been a lot slower. So with a microcontroller, for $2 to $5 for the chip itself, you've got a complete computer on a chip. It includes the processor, storage, peripheral I/O, the whole enchilada. So they're very powerful devices, and they're used for a lot of real-time control and monitoring kind of applications. You can measure voltages, you can measure time, frequency, logic, you can control stuff, you can generate signals to control motors, generate tones, lots of applications. And they have lots of powerful communications channels, serial ports, I2C, SPI. Those are fairly high-speed serial channels to control peripheral chips. So the microcontrollers are very powerful. They're very low power, and they're pretty cheap, so they're very popular. The popular microcontrollers are manufactured by a bunch of companies, some of which you're familiar with and perhaps some you're not. The ones that you hear the most about, especially in the hobby world, is Atmel and Microchip. The Arduinos are based on Atmel processors, and what we do with the Hamstack is based on the PIC processor, which is a product of Microchip. What you'll also start to hear a lot more about are ARM processors. Everybody in here, if you wave around your cell phone, you're waving around probably at least one or more processors made by ARM. It's a UK-based company. Does anybody here have a Galaxy 4S? It's a new Galaxy by Samsung. It's got 8 ARM processors in it. It's got 2 clusters. It's got a 4-core A15, which is a media processor, and a 4-core A7. It's a lighter weight processor. So ARM is really the processor company in mobile. They've also expanded out into everything else. Everything from engine control units to your DVD player, all that stuff is running on ARMs. ARM started as a 32-bit processor architecture, so you can have a real address space. They've ported Linux OSs to the ARM platform, and they're shrinking them down and making industrial control versions of these parts. So they're very amenable to a hobbyist kind of an application running Linux. So it's very exciting stuff.
You're listening to some tech talk from George Safaropoulos, KJ6VU, the techno geek behind Sierra Radio. We'll conclude his Hamvention talk in a moment. This happens to be the Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
These microcontrollers come in a couple packages, DIP packages, surface mount. You can get boards. The Arduino, for those of you who don't know, is a little circuit board, and it bursts out the pins to a set of headers, and you program that in a form of C. It's very similar to our PIC board, has the same footprint. You can program it in C or BASIC, so you can do kind of the same thing. And a typical simple circuit, see here, is simply an LED blinker where you've got, let's say, the processor itself sitting in the middle. All you need to make this work is a crystal. In fact, today you don't even need the crystal because the PICs have an oscillator circuit built in. It's not super accurate, but it's good enough. You need some voltage, a programming jack, and an LED hooked up to one of the pins, and now you got a blinking LED. So there's really not much to the hardware, frankly. So a very simple application is like a temperature-controlled fan where you're going to read a temperature, and then based on the temperature, you might hit a threshold and turn the fan on. Well, that's simply one signal coming in from the temperature sensor and one signal going out to the relay through a buffer. So you can build some very useful circuits with very little code, with very little hardware, and very inexpensively. These parts have not only digital inputs and digital outputs, they also have analog inputs. There's A to D converters built in. The parts that we use have a 0 to 5 volt range on the A to D. So when you want to measure, let's say, a power supply voltage at 13.8 volts, you just put 2 resistors, make a voltage divider, and now you can measure whatever voltage range you want. It's very easy. And that, in turn, could then drive a little buffer and click a relay. Now you've got your fan control. Surprisingly easy. So when you write the software is really simple, as we all know, right? Hardware is hard, software is easy. Well, actually, software is really easy unless you want it to work. That's kind of a whole different dimension to the problem. But all programs fundamentally work the same way. You initialize what you're going to do, you read some inputs, you figure out what that means, and you change some outputs, and you loop forever. Maybe in the process, you might branch to a subroutine and come back for more complicated stuff. It's essentially a control loop in any control theory application. So there's nothing really unusual about it. Any kind of product, whether it's an Arduino or a PIC or an ARM, essentially do the same thing. The only more sophisticated dimension is if you have multiple things going on at the same time, you have to do what's called context switching, which is moving from one program to another program, and it's really difficult to do that in a microcontroller. One of the advantages of Linux platform is that it's a multitasking environment, which means I can do 5 things at once. And I don't have to know the other things are going on if I don't want to. In a microcontroller, if you want to do 5 things at once, you can do it, but you are intimately familiar with every single line of code that's being executed. And you have to really write that thing from scratch and make it work just right. So, for example, if I'm reading an A to D converter and I have a serial port, if I'm reading that A to D and some data comes in the serial port, I might miss it. Unless you know how to program that microcontroller in a way that can handle multiple tasks. So it can get a little bit complicated. You can write code for microcontrollers today. This is really different. 10 years ago, you'd be talking about assembly language. And who wants to do that? I mean, there's no point, honestly. If you want to do assembly, you can do assembly with these things. That's great. It doesn't buy you much because you can do the same level bit manipulations with C or with BASIC that you could do with assembly. So frankly, there's not much point in doing it. The only reason you get down to that level is for performance. And in most applications, it's not really that critical. Once you get your program written and you're ready to put it into the microcontroller, in the old days, we would use a UV erasable PROM. You remember those things? You'd stick it in a drawer, put a light on it for 20 minutes, come back, it's blank. You'd stick it in a programmer, you'd zap it with your program, you'd plug the chip into your circuit, and it wouldn't work. And you do that about 1,000 times, and then you can reconsider your professional career options. But today, it's really a breeze because this processor, the microcontroller, has electronically alterable flash memory built into it. What that means is I write the program, compile it, download it into the chip, no separate part required. I program that chip, and lo and behold, it does not work. That's a surprise. You go back, change your code, recompile it, download it to the chip, and you just keep doing that until you get it to work. So it's actually really easy. It takes you a minute to download the code. So it's a very simple environment, and you could do what is called in-circuit programming, which means you plug your programmer into the target system, and you never unplug it. You just leave it plugged in, and you can reflash that chip many, many, many times.
The voice of George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU, a techie type who is the man behind Sierra Radio, excerpted from his talk at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. Personally speaking, if much of this 10-minute program left you in a virtual fog, Rain's Hapali, KC9RP, can empathize with you. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hapali, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you all very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.